Episode 771, April 27th, 2026. Serator is on vacation this week, spending time at the San Diego Zoo while still managing to read enough for a full reading list. Let's get into it. Leading off this week, a thorough breakdown of the Google Cloud Next 26 developer keynote. A post on Dev2 walks through the full 60-minute live coding demo that walked through 7 phases of the agent development lifecycle. Building, orchestrating, remembering, debugging, deploying, extending, and securing. The demo app was planning a Las Vegas marathon, which sounds like a gimmick, but turns out to be a surprisingly honest technical blueprint. The planner agent used natural language to describe behavior, clicked Get Code, and the agent development kit generated Python. The evaluator ran as a sub-agent. The simulator communicated via the agent-to-agent protocol with agent cards. The whole thing used managed MCP servers, so the agents didn't have to manage API keys, rate limits, or authentication across dozens of tools. The keynote also showed that Google has fully embraced the two-protocol stack that the industry is coalescing around, MCP for tool access, A2A for agent-to-agent coordination. That's being called the TCP/IP of the agentic internet. One detail worth noting, the no-code supply chain agent was registered in the same agent registry as the full-code planner agent, and the planner called it via A2A without knowing or caring how it was built. That's a meaningful collapse of the wall between developer-built and business-built automation. The keynote ended with Wiz scanning the entire agent ecosystem and generating a security graph with attack paths, while a red agent probed for vulnerabilities and a green agent proposed fixes. Google's argument wasn't about any single feature. It was that the tool chain is ready. That agent development has left the hackathon phase. A piece from InfoTech Research Group digs into the strategic message underneath all the next announcements. Shashi Belamkonda points out that Sundar Pichai showed up with the demand metrics, $70 billion in annual revenue growing at 48%, a $240 billion backlog that's up 55% and more than double the prior year, existing customers spending 30% faster than contracted. Then Thomas Kurian showed up with the architecture to answer it. The argument is that the cloud market isn't competing on compute or models anymore. It's competing on who can build the control plane for an enterprise where agents run thousands of autonomous workflows. Kurian's answer was agent identity, agent gateway, agent observability, and agent anomaly detection. A coherent governance stack. The data point that stood out: GE Appliances has 800 agents running in production across manufacturing, logistics, and supply chain. Macquarie Bank reclaimed 100,000 hours of employee time with automation. NASA is using agents for flight readiness checks on Artemis II. These aren't pilots. They're operational. The competitive question, according to the analysis, is whether your cloud provider can show you in real time whether an agent is operating within its authorization scope, before the action executes, not after, and whether you can migrate agents to a different cloud without rewriting your governance rules. Google is positioning itself as the platform built for that problem. Moving on to something older but still sharp, a rundown of 20 software engineering laws. Most engineers learn these the hard way, and this piece covers the ones that keep showing up across decades of building software. Gall's Law. A complex system that works is always built from a simple system that worked first. Google Wave launched with chat, email, a forum, and a document editor all at once, and it was dead in 15 months. Bourbon had check-ins, gaming, and photo sharing, until the founders cut everything except photo sharing and it became Instagram. KISS. Keep it simple. Stupid. Anything beyond that is overhead. Then there's Conway's Law. Organizations design systems that mirror their communication structure. The piece points out that many AI organizations split research from application engineering, and the output is a model that scores well and a product that doesn't work because each side optimizes for its own. Communication boundary. Brooks's law gets its own mention. Adding people to a late software project makes it later. Hofstadter's law. It always takes longer than you expect, even when you account for Hofstadter's law. Price's law, half the work is done by the square root of the people. In a group of 100, about 10 people actually do half the work. The piece notes that when Musk took over Twitter, it cut staff roughly in half and the site kept running. Price's law predicted that. What it didn't predict was the loss of depth in trust and safety and incident response. The glue work that keeps the lights on when the next hard problem hits. The piece is a good reminder that some of these laws are 60 years old and still apply because they're not really about software. They're about people building things under time pressure. Google Labs open-sourced the DESIND format used in Stitch. This is a spec that lets you define design rules, colors, typography, spacing, accessibility standards, in a machine-readable format. The idea is that AI agents can understand what a color is actually for, not just what its hex value is, and can validate their choices against WCAG rules automatically. It's the kind of interoperability spec that design tools have needed for a while. On agent memory, a paper from Google Research introduces Reasoning Bank, a framework for letting agents learn from both their successes and their failures. Existing approaches generally either record exhaustive action trajectories or only document workflows from successful attempts. Reasoning Bank distills useful insights from both. The paper shows gains in both effectiveness and efficiency on web browsing and software engineering benchmarks. The insight is that failures are a primary source of learning that most agent memory systems ignore entirely. A post from Forrester makes the case that the era of rigid annual roadmaps is over. Joe Schiavone argues that tech leaders need to architect modular roadmaps, groups of initiatives with dependencies, where each bucket has an assigned value, so that if one bucket stops, the rest can be evaluated for impact. The argument is built on a real story, a global manufacturing firm planning a full infrastructure refresh across more than 30 locations. 6 weeks in, some IP leaked, and security became the only funded initiative. Dependencies cascaded. The planned AP density wasn't sufficient for the new camera loads. Storage calculations were off. Cloud meant latency, so they needed local VMS solutions. The lesson? Build in flexibility. The point isn't to abandon roadmaps. It's to design them so that a priority change doesn't make the whole plan obsolete overnight. The CIO's evolving role in this framing is less about defining direction and more about enabling change at speed. A Fast Company piece covers Sundar Pichai's statement that 75% of Google's code is now AI-generated and approved by engineers. Serrater is quoted in the piece along with Pichai. The context for this list is the broader Google Cloud Next narrative, but the number itself is worth sitting with. Not that AI is writing code, we've known that, but that it's being written and approved and shipping. A post from Augment Code digs into what makes an agents.md file actually useful versus actively harmful. The findings are based on running tasks with and without the file across their internal benchmarks. The best agents.fd files produced quality improvements equivalent to upgrading from Haiku to Opus. The worst ones made output worse than having no file at all. The same file could help one task by 25%. And hurt another by 30% in the same module. What works? Progressive disclosure over comprehensive coverage. Keep the main file to 100 to 150 lines and push details into reference files. The agent loads on demand. Procedural workflows for multi-step tasks, which moved agents from failing to finishing correctly on first try. Decision tables that forced the choice between reasonable approaches up front. Examples from actual production code. And pairing every don't with a do warning. Only docs consistently underperformed. What doesn't work? Too much architecture overview, which pulls the agent into reading dozens of documentation files, trying to understand the system before touching code, even on a two-line config change. Excessive warnings without matching alternatives, which makes the agent check each rule for relevance and explore code it doesn't need to touch. The key discovery about how agents find docs, agents.w9t files, are automatically discovered in 100% of cases. Reference files out of agents.w9ww get 9d, get loaded on demand, and read in over 90% of sessions. Directory readme's get read in about 80% of sessions when the agent works in that directory. Anything nested in subdirectories the agent isn't currently in gets discovered only about 40% of the time. Orphan docs in folders. Nothing references get read in under 10% of sessions. Agentus. MD is the only reliable documentation location. A post on async agent patterns argues that the transport most agents are built on. HTTP request response breaks fundamentally when agents start running in the background. The problem, a chatbot streams tokens back on a single open HTTP connection. That connection has to stay open for the response to arrive. But agents are getting crons, webhooks, scheduled tasks, routines. They're running while you work, not while you're watching. HTTP can't handle it. Four scenarios. The current transport can't handle cleanly. When the agent outlives the caller, when the agent wants to push unprompted, when the caller changes devices mid-task, and when multiple humans need to. Be in one session. The post lays out that the problem splits into two halves, durable state, where the agent's context lives so it can resume, and durable transport, how the response gets from the agent to the human, across disconnections and device switches. Solutions from Anthropic and Cloudflare mostly solve the state half. Nobody's solved the transport half yet. The post is from someone at Ably, which is building a real-time, messaging-based transport for AI agents. But the analysis of the problem is sharp regardless. A piece on writing improvement pulls together advice from Steven Pinker, Andrew Kevin Walker, David Mamet, Stephen King, and Stephen Tresfield. The core insight. Your reader is always a flight risk. They don't owe you anything. You earn their attention sentence by sentence. Good writing is clear and conversational. Don't say perambulate when you can say walk. Don't bury the laid. Beware the curse of knowledge. When you know something but forget that everyone else doesn't, ask whether your writing would make sense to your mom. And the most important question before you start, why should anyone care about this? Not what do I feel, but what will this do in someone else's mind? Writing is communication, not self-expression. Finished writing is a liar. It hides its labor. Revision is where you admit the joke is funny, but belongs in a different essay. Keep cutting. The reader doesn't know what you cut. Google's threat intelligence team published findings from a broad sweep of the public web looking for indirect prompt injection patterns. Indirect prompt injection is when a website or document contains hidden instructions that an AI system processes silently, potentially following the attacker's commands, instead of the user's intent. The scan used Common Crawl, about 2 to 3 billion pages per month, with a coarse to fine filtering approach, pattern matching for common injection signatures, then Gemini to classify intent, then human validation. Most detections were benign, research papers, educational blog posts, security articles discussing the topic. The categories of real-world abuse they found, harmless pranks, helpful guidance, SEO manipulation, deterrence, and malicious attempts at data exfiltration and destruction. Most were low sophistication. But the trend line is worth watching. a 32% relative increase in malicious detections between November 2025 and February 2026. Google expects both scale and sophistication to grow as AI systems become more capable and as threat actors start automating their operations with agentic AI. AWS announced that Workmail will be shut down next March and that AppRunner is moving to maintenance mode and won't accept new customers after April 30th. Several other less popular services are also entering maintenance or sunset phases. The community reaction has been mixed. Workmail was a loss leader that made the broader AWS ecosystem more sticky and convenient. Not a revenue driver, but a retention tool. AppRunner's deprecation is drawing particular attention because Reddit threads on alternatives are pointing people to Google Cloud Run, with one user noting that Cloud Run is head and shoulders above any. Container offering on AWS. Corey Quinn called out the announcement as a bold move. 14 services and features getting deprecated in one blog post. Someone owes him $300 for a workspace's thin client. Finally, Google Cloud published a list of 10 highlighted code labs from Next to 6 covering the new features and services announced at the conference. The list includes building rich agent experiences with ADK and A2UI, multi-agent orchestration, natural language to SQL with AlloyDB, fraud detection with Spanner and BigQuery Graph, securing agents with Model, Armor and IAM, grounding agents with Google Maps, deploying and scaling agents on Agent Engine, the Cloud Run Zero to Production Guide, building agents with skills, and AI-powered forecasting. There are more than 75 total code labs tagged for the conference on the Google Developers Code Lab site. That's episode 771 for April 27, 2026. Big theme this week. The agentic infrastructure story at Google is real and it's moving fast, but the governance and security questions underneath it are where the actual competitive differentiation is going to. Be won or lost. Catch you next time.